Tonight's edition of the X Podcast is sponsored by Mack Weldon. This is K-Town. I'm going to take you through some of the most creepy, chilling, and downright terrifying experiences you've ever heard. This is the X Podcast. Listener discretion is advised. We know there are many kinds of serial killers behind bars right now, but have you thought about truckers? When the FBI revealed that their database, the Highway Serial Killer Initiative, which tracks information about hundreds of murders that have taken place along U.S. highways and tries to link them together by some details. In their first 4 years of its existence, the program helped authorities to identify and arrest 10 men believed to be responsible for over 30 deaths. Here are 10 known serial killers who made the open roads of America their grisly hunting grounds. First up, we have Keith Jesperson. In 1990, the body of a murdered 23-year-old woman was discovered off the side of the highway by a bicyclist. Soon after, a woman named Laverne told police that she and her boyfriend John had committed the murder together. The killer, annoyed that Laverne and John were receiving media attention for the crime, the actual killer left confessions on public restroom walls across the country, signed with a smiley face. When that failed to garner attention, he began to send letters to the media with the same signature, leading the media to dub him the Happy Face Killer. 4 years later, the killer confessed to murdering Tijana Bennett, the woman found by the bicyclist. He also led investigators to the evidence that he'd scattered, and Laverne and John were eventually released. It turned out that Laverne had made the false confession in an attempt to end her relationship with her abusive boyfriend, even if it meant serving time in prison. From 1990 to 95, at least 8 women, mostly prostitutes from Oregon to Florida, were found strangled. The strangler, Keith Jesperson, had a long history of abuse, neglect, mental health issues, and torturing animals as a child. By the time he was 17, he already attempted to kill 2 people. Tijana Bennett had been his first successful murder. Jesperson would give the worst serial killers a run for their damn money. He tied up a hitchhiker who irritated him by nagging him to hurry up so she could get to Indiana to see her boyfriend. After he raped and murdered the woman, he strapped her to the bottom of his truck, face down, and dragged her body hundreds of miles so there wouldn't be an ounce of identifying features left on her. It was only by his own confession and divulging of her body's location that led to the discovery of her murder. Jesperson was caught after he strangled his fiancée, Julianne Winningham, because he decided that she was only after his money. Because of her ties to him, he was quickly apprehended and confessed to over 150 murders before recanting and admitting to only 8. Recently, Jesperson, a prolific artist, assisted investigators with a composite sketch of his 6th victim, whom he killed over 20 years earlier in Florida, as authorities attempted to identify her. He is currently serving 3 life sentences in Oregon. Next up, we have John Wayne Boyer. In 2003, 31-year-old Scarlett Wood attended a party at a motel in Wilmington, North Carolina. Soon after, her mother reported her missing. Because he had been seen with Wood at the party, police questioned truck driver John Wayne Boyer, who stated that she left while he was sleeping. Over a year later, A battered body with stab wounds was discovered, and it was almost another 2 years before the body was confirmed to be that of the missing woman. Boyer was arrested in 2006, convicted of second-degree murder, and he was sentenced to 12 years in prison. After his arrest, Boyer was compelled to give a DNA sample, which linked him to a 2005 murder of 25-year-old Jennifer Smith, whose body was found alongside a highway in Tennessee. And like Wood, it took about 2 years for Smith's body to be identified. Boyer was extradited to Tennessee in 2015 to face charges in her death. He further admitted to two other murders, which solved two missing person cases over a decade old. Experts believe that since John Wayne Boyer traveled all over the United States, more than likely, he has left bodies all over the place. All right, let's talk about Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. As soon as you put on anything from Mack Weldon, you're going to be in heaven. That's because everything they have is made from premium fabric. Mack Weldon cares about smart design, and there's going to be no doubt that they care about your comfort. I jumped right on the website and ordered my son some of those crazy soft premium fabric boxers. They have the signature no-roll waistband that he needs, and they have the mesh zones to keep him cool. The underwear along with the shirts are naturally antimicrobial, which means they eliminate odor. And while I was on the easy-to-use website, I also ordered him t-shirts made from their soft premium fabric. And I'm not worried whether or not I'm going to like it. That's because Mack Weldon has a guaranteed where I have absolutely nothing to lose. That's because if you don't like your first pair, you can keep it and they will still refund you your money. No questions asked. Now I want you to try it. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and use the promo code KTOWN at checkout. They have underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and more than you will ever wear. I want you to go to MackWeldon.com and use the promo code KTOWN for 20% off. That's MackWeldon.com and use the promo code KTOWN right now for 20% off your first order. Remember that by supporting Mack Weldon, you are supporting the X Podcast. Next up, we have Scott William Cox. At the end of 1990 and the beginning of 1991, two prostitutes were murdered in an area of Portland, Oregon. The first, Renee Brunson, managed to make it to a public location and get help before succumbing to her injuries at a nearby hospital a short time later. The second, Victoria Roan, was found beaten to death in a Portland rail yard. That spring, a witness saw a woman thrown out of the cab of a truck. She had been brutally battered and assaulted, but she refused to press charges. Certain that they had a serial killer on their hands, authorities used information from the witness to track down a man named Seth Scott Cutter, but they were unable to hold him since the victim had fled. But they issued a bulletin about him to alert other jurisdictions. A Newburgh police detective received the bulletin but recognized the man as Scott William Cox. After an investigation was launched, Cox eventually confessed to the murders and to beating several prostitutes around Oregon and Washington. He was only convicted of Brunson's and Roan's murders, for which he was given 25 years in prison, but he is a suspect in roughly 20 more cases. Unbelievably, he was released in 2013 and remains on lifetime parole with an ankle monitor. Next, we have Sean Patrick Goble. He stood 6'3", weighed over 300 pounds, and seemed convinced that women were attracted to his hefty physique. He once claimed that a girlfriend beat him up. A couple of his neighbors in North Carolina described him as gentle and generous, since he would often bring them gifts when he returned home from the road. Sean Goble was 28 years old when he was arrested and charged with the murder of a woman found alongside Interstate 40 in Virginia. The woman had been strangled and run over by Big Rig, judging from the tire tracks. Her head rested on a shopping bag from which detectives were able to recover a fingerprint. While detectives awaited fingerprint analysis, two women were discovered in North Carolina and Tennessee, both of them close to the Virginia border and near where the first victim had been found. The woman in Tennessee had also been run over. After Goble's arrest, he confessed to two other murders, and authorities began to look at him and at least 10 additional deaths in states scattered around the country. An investigator who worked the case said that Goble didn't appear to understand the gravity of his crimes. He once said, "I'm going to do my time in Tennessee and get this behind me so I can get on with my life." And since he was given 2 consecutive life sentences, Sean Goble will never get out to put his gruesome crimes behind him. Next, we have Wayne Adam Ford. There probably wasn't any other reaction other than astonishment and complete horror when Wayne Adam Ford walked into a police station in Eureka, California, with a Bible and a severed breast in his hand. He confessed to murdering 4 women from 1997 to 98. Ford's wife filed for divorce and refused to let him have visitation with his young son. And do you blame her? His escalating anger at her, he said, drove him to murder prostitutes and hitchhikers that he picked up along his truck routes. He claimed to have tried to revive each woman to no avail. 2 of the women were dismembered, and all were discarded in the waterways around California. 1 victim remains anonymous. Her body was too badly mutilated to be identified. Despite the depraved way in which he killed his victims, Ford stands out among serial killers as one of few to ever express remorse, having tearfully told police that he didn't want to be responsible for any more deaths. At the time of his confession, Ford was not a suspect in any of the homicides. Wayne Adam Ford received the death penalty. Next, we have John Robert Williams. Now, you can bet that 7 slayings in 7 months will get your ass some serious heat, especially if the police are able to link the killings together in spite of a big geographical separation. Mississippi long-haul trucker John Robert Williams' aunt liked to watch true crime shows, and she happened to catch an episode detailing the murder of Casey Jo Pippinston, a 19-year-old woman whose body had been dumped off a bridge in Grapevine, Texas, about 30 miles northwest of Dallas. She phoned in a tip saying that the case sounded a lot like a murder that her nephew had boasted about recently. Meanwhile, John Robert Williams and his girlfriend were sitting in jail in Mississippi, accused of the murder of 20-year-old Nikki Hill, whom they met at a casino. Using the FBI's Highway Serial Killings Initiative database analysis, Terry Turner was able to link 7 unsolved cases to Williams. And when detectives went to question the couple, he found that they were more than willing to admit to the murders that they were suspected of, as well as several more. Williams is serving a life sentence plus 20 years in Mississippi for Hill's murder. His girlfriend, Rachel Cumberland, is serving 20 years. They face additional charges as prosecutors around the country build their cases. Next, we have Delmas Colvin. A long-haul trucker based in Ohio came to the attention of authorities in 2004 after he viciously attacked a prostitute in the cab of his truck. Because she memorized details about him and went to some lengths to ensure that her DNA would be found in Colvin's truck, police were able to link him to a number of rapes that he had committed around Toledo, as well as the murder of 37-year-old Melissa Weber. Colvin was initially charged with two murders, those of Weber and of Jackie Simpson, but confessed to three more as part of a plea deal that spared him the death penalty. He further implicated himself in at least one more murder, the intentional overdose of 40-year-old Dorothea Wetzel. In 2010, he was indicted for the murder of a seventh victim, Donna Lee White from New Jersey, in 1987. Delmas Colvin was sentenced to two consecutive life terms without the possibility of parole. Next, we have Bruce Mendenhall. After 25-year-old Sarah Nicole Hobart was found shot at a Nashville, Tennessee truck stop, detectives identified a truck driven by Illinois-based Bruce Mendenhall as a matching one seen in surveillance footage. Inspection of the truck revealed blood and bloody clothing and the belongings of an Indianapolis woman who had gone missing only a day earlier. After Mendenhall was arrested, he implicated himself in the murders of at least five other women. Blood tests revealed the DNA of 10 different people in Mendenhall's cab. Using the Violent Crime Apprehension Program, authorities were able to match Mendenhall's MO to several other unsolved murders around the country. He was first convicted for the solicitation of the murder of three witnesses in his trial and sentenced to 30 years. He was subsequently convicted of first-degree murder for Sarah Hobart's death and received life in prison. Mendenhall is currently awaiting trial in the 2007 shooting death of another woman, 48-year-old Samantha Winters, whose body was found stuffed in a trash can in Tennessee. He will then go on trial in Indiana and Alabama, while police continue to investigate his ties to other unsolved homicides around the country, as well as numerous cold cases stretching back decades in Tennessee alone. Next, we have Adam Leroy Lane. If you were foolish enough to leave your door unlocked in July of 2007, a serial killer like Adam Leroy Lane would have been happy to accept the invitation to come right in. It was a frightening month for women in the Northeast. First, there was Darlene Ewalt, who was stabbed to death as she chatted on the phone in her own backyard while her family was inside the house. 4 days later, Patricia Brooks was ambushed as she slept on the sofa in her home in rural Pennsylvania. Her throat was slashed before the assailant fled through the unlocked door which he had entered. Brooks survived her attack. A week and a half after that, long-haul trucker Adam Leroy Lane, who was based in North Carolina, walked to residence near a Route 78 truck stop in New Jersey, and he was looking for unlocked doors. Monica Masario was found dead later, with stab wounds to her head and upper body. The next night, in Massachusetts, 15-year-old Shay McDowell's muffled sounds of struggle woke her parents up, who walked in her bedroom and witnessed Lane standing over her bed, and he was holding a knife to her throat. Shay's father, Kevin, a slight but well-built man, tackled the burly 245-pound Lane while her mother, Janine, grabbed the knife, cutting her hand in the process. Thus ended Lane's serial killing career. Through blood evidence found on the knife he used, Lane was linked to the first three stabbings. For the attack against Shay, he was sentenced to 25 to 30 years. For Darlene Ewalt's murder, he received life in prison, while Patricia Brooks' attack got him another 10 to 20 years. For Monica Masario's murder, he was sentenced to 50 years. Diane Ewalt's husband, who had been initially charged with her murder, was cleared and released from jail. And last, we have Robert Rembert Jr., a long-haul driver based out of Cleveland, Ohio. Robert served 6 years in 1997 for voluntary manslaughter after shooting 24-year-old Dadrian Lewis. But prosecutors say Robert murdered at least one more person the same year and was responsible for three murders in 2015. In September 2015, police arrested Robert as he exited a truck stop shower. They believe that only one day before, Robert shot and killed his two housemates, Morgan Nitzel, age 26, and his own cousin, 52-year-old Jerry Rempert, because he used one of his housemate's cars as his getaway vehicle. Police easily tracked him down. After Robert's DNA was sampled as part of the investigation, he was linked to the rape and strangulation murder of 31-year-old Kimberly Hale. DNA and her manner of death matched evidence in the case of 47-year-old Renee Payne, who was killed in the first half of 1997. Charged with 10 counts of aggravated murder, as well as 15 additional charges, including rape, gross abuse of a corpse, and kidnapping, Robert went on trial in mid-October of 2015, while investigators looked into his possible ties to a number of unsolved murders. Amazingly, Robert was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole. That's it for this edition. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. This is K-Town, and I'll see you next time on the X Podcast.